Welcome to the Start Empire Wire Founders Podcast, where we make entrepreneurial founders a top priority. Each episode features risk takers, business builders, community shapers, institutional and government supporters in our local startup ecosystem. Tune in weekly to hear all about what's happening with the movers and the shakers of Southern California's Inland Empire and beyond. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Founders Podcast. Today, I am here with Vanessa Narvios. Just met her recently. She's doing some amazing things out in Temecula. We're going to start with talking about her personal business that she's doing right now. But I'm going to let her introduce herself, tell us a little bit about who she is, and we'll get into it. So, who are you, Vanessa? Where did you grow up? And all of that great jazz.
Awesome. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm super excited to be speaking to all of your listeners and viewers out there. So I really appreciate the opportunity. I'm so glad for social media that our paths crossed. So thank you so much. So a little bit about me. I am from a little hole in the world, a little corner pocket of California known as Hemet. I don't tell most people that because it is in the middle of nowhere and it's not. It's getting better. It's getting better, but it's a little rough around the edges.
Right. But it's in the IE.
It is in the IE. It's there's some nicer places in the IE, but I was born and raised there, and I went to school in Menifee, not too far away, back when Menifee was just rolling hills and zero houses.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's definitely changed a lot. And then, yeah, I went to school out in Orange County. I went to Cal State Long Beach, graduated from there, and then did a couple study abroad programs, traveled the world, and then was fortunate enough to move abroad to do my master's program. So I was able to get out of Hemet, that's for sure. So it was nice.
What was your master's in?
So I did a master's in international business. So I also did my undergrad in international business, and I thought I fell in love when I first started traveling, which was right after high school, and I moved to Mexico. Oh. So I thought I was going to work in government relations and, you know, between the US and Mexico and trade and tourism and like all this stuff, and which sounded super good on college entrance papers.
Right.
And definitely went a very different direction when I did my master's. I ended up having the opportunity to study abroad and do my master's in China. Nice. And so I ended up going to school there and then ended up staying for 8.5 years. So it was quite a different transition for sure.
Can you speak Mandarin?
I can. Yes.
Wow.
I do speak. I speak Mandarin, not fluently, because most people don't speak Mandarin fluently unless it's your first language.
Yeah.
Or you speak it in the home all the time. But I speak intermediate business Mandarin. Level Mandarin, and then also intermediate business level Spanish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the top languages in the world. So.
Yes. Yeah. English. And that was always my goal from the beginning. So I'm pretty excited that I was able to achieve those goals. But it's a lifelong learning process. So I still have a long way to go, that's for sure.
Well, get on that Duolingo.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
I'm learning Spanish right now on Duolingo.
Oh, cool. So, yeah. Oh, very nice. That's
all
awesome.
Right. Okay, so what sparked you to get that entrepreneurial bug where you wanted to begin? Your own business coming, because you can go to school for it, but I mean, does that really mean you want to start your own business where you want to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, you know, so I'm very fortunate that I had the background of business as my undergrad and then also as my master's, but I knew I eventually wanted to start a business, but it wasn't really until I started getting into the corporate world and working for other people and really understanding the lock that they have on your time and your freedom. And when I worked for my first Fortune 500, I was like, oh no, like this is not for me in any kind of way, shape or form. Being just like a number and a cog in the wheel was something that definitely like did not go well with my personality. I'm much more of a free spirit.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a rule breaker or bender.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta be like
rules don't apply to me.
You gotta be a free spirit to have that entrepreneurial. I think entrepreneurs are the ones who they buck the current trends or system. You know, they want to forge their own path, which is really cool. Absolutely. So, all right. So that spark, you know, caused you to begin that. You know, when did you start your current business? Tell us about what is the primary business that you have.
Sure. So the primary business I have now is I run a wedding and events business. Okay. And it's called Finer Weddings and Events. And I actually restarted that when I had moved home after almost 10 years of living abroad. Mm. And I moved back because of the pandemic. So I used to live in Asia for in China for 8.5 years. And then I was just getting out of there, thank goodness. Yeah. By the grace of God, I swear. Woo. And in December of 2019, I came home, I dropped off my suitcases, and I moved to Bali, Indonesia.
Bali?
Yeah.
Traveler, man.
Yeah, and my plan in 2020 was to travel the world and work from my laptop with my business partner.
And so, that's when COVID happened, or what?
That is when COVID smashed all my dreams of like being a digital nomad and traveling the world and on like working from the beach, but which I'll do again. I have done in the past, and I will do again. but so I restarted my events business because I did have an events business when I was living in China. I ran an events business there for almost 5 years.
Okay.
And so I did all types of events, marketing, consulting, all types of stuff. I started that because after kind of getting out of corporate, I went to go work for a really awesome events agency there. And I worked there for about 3.5 years or so. And then, you know, I was ready for a raise and I didn't get that raise. And I was like, wow, that blood, sweat, and tears. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not like, and it's not my company. And I really reevaluated my situation. I was like, oh no. Yeah. Like, I'm not putting my blood, sweat, and tears into somebody else's dream.
That's right.
And that's when I went out on my own and I like never looked back. I was like, oh, this is what it's all about. This is where the magic happens. So,
yeah. So when you started Finer Weddings and Events, did you start in the Temecula region? Right now, that's where you're primarily at, right?
Yes, I did. So when I came back, like I said, I came back. It was March 25th, 2020. So that was, right in the heart of it, of a great time to try to, you know, move back to a place that I only really had my family here and people that I knew in high school.
Right.
And of course everything was closed. So there was definitely no events, nothing happening.
What a time to start an events business, right?
Right. So I did work for some people for a while just to kind of get some income, right? Because I was like, hi, mom and dad. Like,
right. I'm back.
I'm in my mid-30s. it was rough.
Yeah. No.
it was pretty wild. But I spent a little bit of time kind of working for other people. Again, I was like, oh, this is not the business right here. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
And just seeing how the people run their businesses was shocking. Mm. And I was like, I tapped out very soon. And I was like, okay, you're back in your home country. There's no reason or way on God's green earth that you could not be successful. Yeah. I've already ran a very successful business in a country that I didn't even speak the language fluently. And I was we're jamming. So I was like, I'm back in my home country. Like, and I can research the laws and the rules and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And everything's like laid out online, like super easily. Like, yeah. So I was, so I started in July of 2021.
Okay.
With the new business again. So it's been a good ride for sure.
All right. So tell us a little bit more about the Finer Weddings and Events business, and what do you do? You know, who's your target market, which is obviously in the name, but maybe there's more. But tell us a little bit about that. Go in depth.
Sure. So I live in the Temecula wine country area, and so naturally there are a lot of weddings, right? So previously had never really done weddings. I focused primarily on corporate events. Yes. And I never wanted to get in the wedding business because I always thought it'd be too emotional and case like crying in the background. Now that I'm in the industry, I love it and it's so much fun. My target market, I really, really do love a more luxury, high-end type of clientele because when I lived in Asia, all of the corporate events that I did were very, very high-end, luxury style events with very large budgets. And so it's a lot funner when you get to create and design and build something from the ground up with people that have money to spend, even though that might be a little not PC thing to say, but
give us some idea, what's the typical price range of a really nice event?
Event wise, so for weddings specifically, so average wedding in wine country is probably between $25,000 and $35,000. Okay. Dollars.
A little chunk of change.
It's, trust me. People ask me all the time, like, Vanessa, you're a wedding planner. Like, when are you going to plan your wedding? Like, I was like, first of all, I already done that. I plan for a little bit. Yeah. I will get eloped on a beach in Mexico. Like, that's what I will do.
You won't be planning your own wedding, right? Yeah. I do enough of this.
Yeah. Like, no, no. That's like a cook. Like, you're a chef, like, cooking for yourself.
Right.
But, a big budget wedding probably starts at about $100,000 or $150,000.
Okay.
And up from there.
And those... give us a little bit of a picture in our mind. You know, I know some women watching this may be like, oh.
So unfortunately, the bad part about social media, I guess, is that everything you see on social media is literally like a flower budget that's $70,000 and up.
Damn.
Like, so anything you see on like Pinterest or just as you're scrolling online.
And honestly, I don't use Pinterest. I think Pinterest is like I'm not trying to be sexist, but I think it's for women.
It's true. It is. Demographic definitely is mostly women. Okay. But I mean, anything that you're seeing on like Instagram or Pinterest or whatever, like that's the unfortunate like part of my job is I'm like, okay, like, so like, tell me about like, what is your vision for the flowers? What is your vision for the setup? And then they'll like scroll like, okay, what about this? What about this? And I'm like, ooh, girl, like, do you know that that's like $50,000?
So do you normally go onto Pinterest, create a board for people's weddings and give them visuals like and stuff like that? How does it work?
I do for, you know, whether it's a wedding or an event, I do give them some ideas and some palettes and things, but I am always really cognizant of the person's budget. So I'm never going to show a bride something that I know is like, you know, flowers, like, you know, they're just out of this world but it costs $100,000.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay. If their budget's $5,000.
Oh, get it.
Because that's like the typical budget for, I think, brides for like flowers is probably between $3,000 to $6,000.
It's
pretty average, but I mean, which is not a lot. Like flowers are by far the most expensive part of any wedding.
Yeah. Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Flowers are crazy expensive. Not like the food. So, yeah. Okay. Weddings are expensive.
Okay, outside of weddings, are you doing other types of events?
I am, yeah. So I just did, I have a lovely client. I just did her baptism for her baby down in San Diego at the U.S. Grant. That was beautiful. Do bachelorette parties. I do birthday parties, anniversaries, graduations. I mean, I'll do whatever people want to pay me for.
Really? Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. The Inland Empire startup ecosystem industry is tremendously fragmented. A few top-tier hubs, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, are well covered by media, events, and data platforms. Finding reliable information relevant to startups or the tech industry in the Inland Empire is extremely difficult. As a result, startups can't scale fast enough. Investors are having a hard time finding the right deals, and corporates can't find the right companies to partner with for their innovation activities. Start Empire Wire, the leading Inland Empire startup publication, is providing the Inland Empire startup ecosystem with the most accurate, engaging business and financial data, events, and news. Our reach of entrepreneurs, C-level executives, angels, VC investors, startup employees, key management at innovative corporates, and big tech is the solution for your B2B or B2C needs. As you build out our platform, we're looking for partners. This is your opportunity to get in on the ground level. If you're looking to align yourself with the local and growing startup and tech ecosystem of the Inland Empire, we have created the platform to get your name noticed and the opportunity for you to grow the recognition of your brand. Contact us today for availability and pricing options. We look forward to our partnership with you. So what is the breakdown of how you plan, like, just a generic event? Like, how does that go?
Sure. So I always start with their vision first, like, because you got to get the style and the vibe that they're going for, right? Because for everybody, it's so different. Mm-hmm. And then you got to understand how much money they're working with, right?
Yeah.
So those two things match, because oftentimes they are, like, off.
Right, so, right.
You know, sometimes, like, I had a client the other day that was like, okay, I want to do this event in December and I want, like, real snow and this, I want to go sledding. I swear to God, I was like, awesome. But for this client specifically, I know that she can afford me to go search for real snow.
Okay.
Blown in, like, in the Inland Empire, you know what I mean?
Oh my goodness.
So,
yeah.
I have a client that she's like, oh, I want to put, like, a, you know, like a dance floor over the pool.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, but not everyone, you know, if you see that, like, in a music video or online or something like that, but, like, you don't have 10 grand to even start that process. Like,
yes,
we don't need to get your hopes up.
Right.
there's other things we can do to, like, fit your budget. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
It's my job as a professional to know that, to understand, like, who are the vendors that you should work with, to understand, like, what's the average price that you should be paying for things.
Okay.
Because that's really, like, the service and the, that I provide to the clients is really understanding, like, okay, here's where you are and this is what you want, and, like, how do we get there and make it realistic and not break the bank, but, you know, and you get what you want, your guests are happy, the whole experience is there, that kind of thing.
So vision, budget, vendors.
Yes.
What else?
And the experience.
Experience. Wow. Okay. So that's kind of the framework of what people need to think about before they come to you, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Now, are there, I'm pretty sure, you know, are there others who are doing some similar things to what you're doing?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, to be honest, I think it is a little bit more focused. Most people are more focused.
Okay.
Because I've been in the events industry for so long and I've done so many different types of events. I mean, like, from conferences to fashion shows to sporting events to weddings and everything in between. I have a very wide range. So I'm able to, on one weekend, do a wedding, and then on the next weekend, do a fashion show.
Mm.
And, like, be able to manage that, like,
okay,
and help
okay.
the team to be able to manage that as well.
Yes.
Because most people are, like, they just do weddings.
Yeah.
Or they just do, like, birthday parties, or, you so know, so they really have their focus.
Yeah.
Versus some people might think I'm not focused, but.
So you have a pretty good Rolodex of people who you can reach out to and make those connections and bring together what needs to happen, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's pretty cool. And diverse experience where you can take on almost anything, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty awesome.
Thank
All right.
You.
So tell us about the growing pains, though. Yeah, what are the growing pains that you've experienced while, you know, launching this business, getting to the place where you currently are today?
Hmm.
The things that maybe really hurt bad.
Yes. Oh God. Well, I think with most businesses that really, you know, it's, one thing is to have the processes down. One thing is to have the finance in order, right?
Yeah.
But it's always, the hardest part is always human resources, right? The people that you have on your team, the people that you have working at with you or for you or, you know, what, all that kind of stuff. Those are really like the wild cards.
Right.
I think it was a very interesting time for me to start this business, especially back like in the, oh, are we out of the pandemic? Are we not? Like that type of thing. Like, are people working? Are they not? Like,
yes.
I'm used, people always say like, oh, you used to work in Asia. I bet that was really hard. Like, you know, how were the, what was like the work mentality like there? What was the, you know, I don't know. They always have this, like, I think stigma around it.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, it was awesome.
Like, it was people, awesome.
They worked hard. Mm. They did whatever it took to get the job done.
Mm.
Man, I tell you, some,
kind of a different culture, huh?
Oh yeah. 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 And so, I mean, I've managed teams for my events of over 100 people before.
Okay.
Like personally managing people to make the event happen.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Whew. So, I mean, and that's like, I mean, there's like levels involved and
anyways,
I think in general, the people, when I was working in these different events and stuff, like they're used to super like hard labor.
Because
that's one thing with, with events people don't think about. They're like, oh, it's like champagne and beautiful dresses and lights and camera action, right? Because it is, it's a very sexy industry. It's like film, right? It's a very sexy industry.
Yeah.
Or modeling or whatever, right? It's a very, you know, glitzy.
Real but like glitzy,
the not glitzy part is everything else. Everything that goes into it of like,
wow,
you know, so that's, but yeah, I think definitely the challenge with labor, especially here, like when first starting to work, and especially when I was working for other people and I started working at some of the wineries and things.
Yeah.
The people that would show up from like temp agencies, because people weren't even really back to work yet, were just people that came out of the woodwork from like Hemet, probably. I don't know.
Really? Wow.
it was rough.
It was rough.
Like, oh, okay.
And this was just coming out of the pandemic, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So now,
is it still the same or?
So now I'm in a little bit different scenario. Now I have a very core team of people that I bring with me to an event. Nice. I don't rely on any staffing agencies. I have all my own people that I've, like, I train. I say, hey, you need to wear this. You're showing up to somebody's, like, I had, when I first started working, this was before I started my company, but
okay,
I was doing a wedding at one of the wineries and they used a staffing agency.
Okay. Okay.
Fair enough. No big deal. Because everyone had to lay off all of their events team, right?
Right, right.
So this girl showed up to somebody's wedding in a tiny little crop top and like hair that I kid you not, and like that looked like it hadn't been washed in 4 days, five maybe.
No.
Like it was, I was like, oh my gosh, like your belly's showing, you have spaghetti straps, and you're at somebody's wedding, like where people are wearing like formal attire. I gave her my shirt. I'm not even kidding. I gave her an extra shirt that I had in my car. So I was like, or I have to send her home. Like, it was just, anyways, or people that maybe like, I don't, anyways.
That's a growing pain.
I'm like, I don't even know how deep you want to get on this interview, but I mean, I have horror stories for days, but
man, but
it's the hardest part of any business though, is the people, for sure.
The human resources, that makes sense. And it's true. And even, you know, like, it seems like every industry. And so are there any others outside of human resources that you would say, you know, have been growing pains?
Let's see. I think sales is always, sales, I think, the challenge for, again, any business, right?
Yeah.
And then like really kind of figuring out what that secret sauce is and what makes you different than anybody else. And like, what's your value proposition, to use a business term, right?
Yeah.
And for me, that was really like, because I came back and I didn't know anybody. I mean, I knew people I went to high school with, but like, I wasn't trying to call them and be like, hey, you getting married? Like,
right.
But I really, really started to build my vendor network. That's number one. And then really trying to prove who I was specifically and letting them know that they could trust me, know me. And then that's when they would start to like refer business to me.
Nice. Yeah.
And then, but just gaining that trust, right, and then just the hustle, right? But that's every single business. That's if you're an entrepreneur, the hustle gene is something that is innate in your soul.
Yeah.
Like I will work harder than anybody else, like in the room. And that is just, I once heard this really great quote from Will Smith. Mm-hmm. And he was, I don't know if you've seen this interview that he did. I think he was like, it was like back in the day, he was on Arsenio Hall or something like that.
I think I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, where he was just like, if it's me versus you and we're on the treadmill together and I'm running next to you, I will die before you get off the treadmill.
No.
Like, I will literally work harder than anyone in the room. And that's always been my flow and my style. And that's just an innate thing. And
that's good.
And so when building your network and really like going after sales and proving yourself, like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I wasn't, you don't just show up and be like, oh, wow, there's people like lining up outside the door wanting me to plan their
man,
wedding.
Man, that'd be so nice. Wouldn't that be nice?
Give me money.
Take my money.
You have to go out. You have to make like prove yourself. You have to, you know, and show up time and time and time and time again to really make that name for yourself. And I've been very, very fortunate that hustle gene is innate, and I'm very fortunate to, you know, now be seeing the successes and reaping the rewards of that. So
that's awesome. All right. So at your current stage in your startup, what are some of your primary needs? You know, what you're doing, you know, what are some of the primary needs that you have, and like, how are you seeking to kind of fulfill those needs?
Mm-hmm. So I'm still looking to build my team, really, mm-hmm. like, again, back to HR, right? So it's not just necessarily people that are like going and doing and helping with the events themselves. So that's, I think, an easier skill to in some way, it's a little bit easier skill to train.
Okay.
But essentially my team in terms of my right-hand woman or man as an assistant, my social media, my marketing team, my admin and finance, and like who's actually like making sure, okay, all the money's there, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because I'm, I like to say a Jill of all trades. I know all the things. I just don't want to do all the things.
You can't. You have to have people involved.
Yes.
And if you want to grow, you always got to bring on more people. They have to become like your extra arm, right?
Yes, exactly. And
what's that? Let me ask you, was that a tough thing for you in the beginning to learn to start, you know, delegation, you know?
Yes.
I think that's a common thread. I mean, like learning to delegate, right?
Yes. And you know, because business is my background and I have such a good overview of how things just generally work and how like everything kind of fits together.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that I do it better than anybody else in the room. It's just that I have a good understanding. Right. But
yes,
man, it's sometimes hard when to trust others, and
that's what it is. It's a trust thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I learn and I struggle with it every day, and I think those like those tough conversations that you need to have with employees sometimes, I think, is really that's an area where I'm really needing to grow.
Yeah,
is like, hey, like it's the water is supposed to be here, you're delivering here, like how can I help you get from A to Z, right? So
and you don't want to micromanage, right? You just like you, but I've heard some people say you should micromanage, you know, but it's a fine balance, right? Nobody has time to micromanage.
Yes. I don't have time to micromanage. I do a lot of things. So I don't.
Right. It's kind of annoying. It's really annoying. No, it's really annoying.
Just really kind of like on the front end, really being able to ask the right questions to make sure you're getting the right person that does the right things, the things that you need. Like, for example, everyone's like, oh, yeah, I do social media. And you're like, but do you? Like, do you? Like, do you know how, like, the Instagram algorithm works? Do you study, like, why, how a post is supposed to be, formatted, how many hashtags, like when do you post,
time to post, right, frequency, like,
oh my gosh. And sometimes people are like, oh yeah, yeah, I do marketing, and you're like, oh okay, cool, like with what? And they're like, I just like post to my Instagram every once in a while, and you're like, that's
yeah,
marketing. That's social media, anyways, asking the right questions, yeah, and then being able to afford the best people is that's a challenge.
Yeah, that is a tough one. And you know, one of the things too, like I've heard people say, and I've done myself, is, you know, they say hire slow, fire fast. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And sometimes if you do that, you're gonna cycle through a lot of people really fast, but you may end up finding that really good fit sooner.
Yes, yeah, that's true. So. I need to get better at that. I'm not perfect. I'm just out here learning, just like everybody else.
You know what? Honestly, I mean, like, that's why I think, like, you know, things like the mastermind groups. There's a mastermind group here in the Inland Empire, Center for Entrepreneurship, or, you know, there's even a business group in Wildermore. I think those type of groups where you're coming together with other, you know, entrepreneurs, and you're doing like a mastermind type thing, are really helpful, because you're bouncing off each other these stories. And I'm pretty sure people listening to this podcast are, you know, business owners. Well, our demographics are business owners. We have some entrepreneurs, university people, and government people, but those people in our audience may be interested in something like that as well.
So yeah, absolutely.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to send me the links for those or put them in the show notes for sure.
Right.
I'm like, yes, I would like to join.
Oh, you know what? I'll send you the link for the Inland Empire Center for Entrepreneurship one, because we did an article on them. So next question. What are two short-term goals that you have for the wedding business that you have? So what are two short-term goals within the next 2 months that you're trying to accomplish?
Ooh, 2 months. I'm next, like, survive?
Right.
So September and October are the busiest months for weddings. So May, June, September, and October. So I literally have 7 weddings in September and about 10 like weddings and events in October.
Wow.
So on one day I have 4 events.
Oh my goodness.
So
that's crazy.
Goal number one. And then I think for these couple months it will be a lot of because my team is also helping to execute. Obviously, I can't be at all these places,
all of those,
4
yep,
places in one day.
Right.
But at the same time, so being able to make sure that my team is trained and going to be executing flawlessly, because that is my standard, is okay, it is a flawless event. Like,
right,
every single thing has to go perfect, period.
Awesome.
That's just, yeah, that is what, yeah, it is. It's somebody's wedding. You don't get the,
yes,
or an event, it doesn't matter. You don't get the chance to redo.
Redo.
It has to be perfect. Mm. Like, there's nothing like, oops, sorry. Like, that's not acceptable. So,
not acceptable. Yeah,
yeah. So working with everybody to make sure that everything goes off without a hitch. And awesome, then, yeah, and then I can breathe again.
Okay, so what's your two goals, two short terms, or survive and breathe? You want to add anything else to that one?
Well, and training the team to make sure that they're perfect.
Training the team to, yeah, make sure they're perfect. Okay, cool. Tell us about your long-term goals. Okay, we'll start with 3 years, okay? And then gonna hit 5 and 10.
Okay. So in 3 years, I want to definitely make sure that I have a team that is up, running, has a flow, understands expectations, and that really buy into the overall vision of the company.
Yes.
And I think the team size, I'd like to keep around 20 or so, because okay, I think once it gets past 20, it just, like, it turns into a different beast.
Right.
So I think 3 years, that's definitely
okay,
my goal, because, you know, I'm getting older, so yeah, I don't want to be out, like, you know,
all
doing
everywhere,
20 hour, you know, 12 hour days every single weekend, multiple times a weekend, like, mm-hmm, it, you know, when I'm in my 40s. So I have to train the team to be able to execute and perform. So that's definitely the the goal within
top
the
one.
3 years.
Okay.
Next 5 years, I would like to probably be working from another country, I'd say.
Okay.
So, because I'm very used to working remotely. Like, I worked remotely before working remotely was cool or like necessity.
Nice. Yeah. So, okay. So that was before, you mean like before COVID locked everything down?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I used to work remotely for clients all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'd like to be running my business, but running it from afar. So probably like from the beaches in Spain. I'd like to move back to Spain. I've lived there before, and I'd like to move back there. Yeah, and just be running it from afar, knowing that I can have, you know, an upper management team that just reports the numbers to me and is like, okay, this is the guidance we need. Okay, we need this type of investment to be able to do XYZ. So that's the type of growth that I would like to have, is that I'm literally on a beach in Spain somewhere and I'm just checking my emails.
Nice.
Understanding like, okay, cool, everything's great, because I already put out in all the foundation blocks and the building blocks to get it to where it needs to be.
Yes.
And it's ready to roll. So yeah, that's 5 years.
Okay. The big one, 10 years.
10 years, I hope to be retired.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean,
do you think you would ever sell your business?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. Oh yeah.
That'd be like an exit strategy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And are you building it in a scalable form?
Yes. So I'm working on that. So again, marketing is a huge part of what I do. That's why I understand the value of that, whether it's an email list, whether it's, you know, because again, on social media, you don't own those platforms, but at least with an email list, like that is your data.
Yes.
And so, yes. Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely open to selling it in the future and making, you know, not that it's a huge exit or something. It's not like a $10 billion exit, right? But
maybe. Yeah. Depending on the way you build it, you know, and I talked with an attorney previously on like last week's podcast, and the one part of our conversation, it just kind of led to like most service businesses usually lead into a type of a software business. Let's say you develop some type of software that's sellable, you know.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I would want an exit, and I'm a serial entrepreneur. I have had several businesses, and I currently have several businesses right now already that I'm taking on. And so people are always like, how do you do it? How do you do all these things? And I'm like,
I know, because I met you through another business.
Yes. And we're going to talk about that on another podcast. But I'm currently opening a restaurant at the moment.
Yes.
And so everyone always asks me, they're like, Vanessa, like, how do you do all these things? And I'm like, and for me, it's always such a funny answer, because I'm like,
I'm a hustler, baby. Yeah, right.
I'm just like, for me, I'm like, of course I have a team around me that helps me to do these things. I don't do it all by myself. Like, no one can do it all by themselves.
No, I have a
team that helps me with my social media. I have a team that helps me, you know, do my admin stuff. I have a team. But it's just like, so
I wonder if people think Elon Musk does everything, you know.
Like, right? Do you think Elon Musk is like out there building cars? Like, absolutely not. Like,
no.
Like, you know, so it's, but the really the secret sauce of being an entrepreneur is not just having the vision. It's not just having that trust and that sales ability, and really to like market your vision and really like get it out there and close the deals, because that's huge. It's
huge.
Must. But it's really being able to bring the right people together and manage those people to get your vision across the finish line, right? So
yes,
and build the trust within the team to make them do sometimes the crazy things and the crazy ideas that you have.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And one of the things that I read that investors look for, you know, when they're going to invest into a business, they look for a founder or a CEO who has enough influence with their team that their team will work for them for free.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because I mean, you know, and I've had some of my workers tell me, hey, if you run out of money, We'll work for free. And I'm like, well, thanks for that, but I'm still gonna pay you.
Yeah. Well, that makes me feel really good. I definitely have had some of my team just be like, it's cool, Vanessa, like, you know, whatever needs to happen. I'm just like,
that's great.
I appreciate that.
That is a great sign. Investors look for that. That's cool.
That's very cool.
So in 10 years, exit.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And sell and start something new and different. So okay. I'm always looking to grow. I'm always looking for new opportunities and, you know, just in ways that I can add value. And I've been in all aspects of the service industry, whether it's been in events or marketing or consulting or opening a restaurant or hotels. So, I mean, I've done every single thing within this industry. Yeah. I mean, not every single thing, but, you know, all major parts of it. So, I mean, it's all about really keeping your eyes open, keeping your ears open, being at the right place at the right time. And, you know, you never know where the next 6 months is going to lead you, where the next 3 years, like, I've grown this business now into, the most money I've ever made in a year. That's for sure. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
That hustle is real.
The hustle is real. Yes.
Because when you show up at your parents' doorstep with with a suitcase in the middle of a pandemic, let me tell you, that hustle gets really real.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would imagine they're looking sideways at you and they're like,
They're like, well, my mom was like, you can just stay here forever. And I was
I'm sure the mom is going to say, you just stay here, baby.
And yes, she's back. And, and then I was like, I called my sister. I was like, help me. I got to go.
Did your sister play a big part in helping you get started as well, too? Or?
She definitely played a big part in helping me have a place to, like, you know, lay my head, and she gave me a room. We're sisters, obviously, so we're close, but like, we're twins as well. So we used to fight cats and dogs when I was younger. So I was like, this is only going to go really good or really bad.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, can't imagine, like, as an adult, man, fighting with your twin.
Whew. Yeah. But I mean, but I'm very blessed that, you know, it's all been really good. And, but, so I'm very excited for what the next couple of years and 10 years has in store for sure.
So finally, okay. Tell us, you know, everybody, where can people find you online, offline, everywhere? Like where are all the properties?
Yes. So I am on all the things. So Instagram, Facebook, of course, my website, LinkedIn. I'm just not on TikTok yet, and I know
no like, TikTok. It's all right.
Full time, I'm not on TikTok. I'm like, I can't.
It's a whole other platform, you know.
Yes, I'm getting there. But Pinterest as well, and that is at Finer Weddings and Events. So that's FINERR, so two R's, weddings and events, and that's both plural. And so my website's, of course, .com, and then you can find me on all the things at that handle. So
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Do you currently have any events, any upcoming events or promotions, anything like that you want to mention, anything else, you know, to our audience?
Let's see. So I did just get into the rental business as well. So, nice. So I provide brides and couples with all the rentals that they don't need to go out and spend money on stuff that they'll never use again, because crazy. Like, that's so crazy.
That's pretty big. Okay, so like, what type of rental? Like wedding dress?
Oh no. God. Oh,
okay,
no.
Okay. I'm like,
that's crazy. I give it to those people who are able to have that business, but that was definitely not me.
No.
Like all the stuff that you would buy for a wedding or an event, like candles or like a card box or like signs, different, like a cake server, like just all these like random wedding stuff.
Okay.
And like, people like just go out and buy, and they spend all this money on stuff that they will never use again. You can just rent that for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So if you are planning a wedding, planning an event, are there any type of events you don't do?
No.
All right.
I mean, I haven't had one come across my desk yet that I wouldn't do. And yeah, as long as I've come across people that I wouldn't like to work with, really.
Ah, yes.
Throw up those red flags. I mean,
right, right.
Situation, but no. I mean, I love providing experiences for people and seeing the joy and love and the happiness that comes from the hard work that I put into making it happen for people. And yeah, so there's nothing I wouldn't do. Not that I could think of.
All right. So contact Vanessa with Finer Weddings and Event. Two R's, finerweddingsandevents.com. Contact her on all social medias. Want to thank you for coming on today, Vanessa. Thank you for being on the Founders Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to connecting with you all.
Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, that's another Founders Podcast in the books today. If you have not liked this channel or subscribed, please do both. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate you listening. We are on YouTube and all major platforms. Once again, thank you for tuning in. See you next time on the Founders Podcast. Peace.
Bye.